Welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Mitch Cruz is today's guest. The guy cracks me up. He joins us the third Tuesday of every month. Mitch is the author of Restoration Road and the host of the TV show of the same name. Go to MitchCruz.com for the complete list of stations airing his show and for more information about his ministry. Can you have a close relationship, a growing friendship that leads to trust with a capital T, with someone that you only talk with sporadically, someone you talk to, not taking time to listen? Well, the obvious answer is no. And what's true for our human relationships is also true for our relationship with God. God wants us to have an ongoing conversation with Him. And on today's Mid-Morning, Mitch turns to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount to teach us to pray. It's your giving that enables WBCL to be there for you, and a special thanks to the Millhouse Bed and Breakfast, located on the banks of the Maumee River in Grand Rapids, Ohio. Find out more about our supporters on the Ministry Partners page at WBCL.org. Good morning, Mitch Cruz.
Good morning, Lynn.
I am so excited about what we're going to learn today, and I'm really excited about what we're planning for September. Two back-to-back shows for new believers on September 18th and 19th. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and when I mentioned it to you, you didn't even hesitate.
No, it's been my passion. My passion is on the front end, evangelism, and then how we guide those people down Restoration Road. Their first steps are so important.
I know it. So on September 18th, we're going to open the phone lines. That's Mitch's regular day here. It's a Tuesday. We'll open the phone lines for you to call and share with us your coming to faith stories. So if you've been, how would you quantify a new believer? Maybe in the past 2 years, or would you go even beyond that for a new believer?
Oh, I think it's, I think 2 years is good.
Okay.
I think we could even go a little longer, just depending on where they are. You know, some people surrender their lives to Christ and then have no one to help guide them. And so if that's never happened to you, you've never had somebody come alongside and guide you with wisdom, with the Bible as the people of God, connecting you with the Spirit of God, then I think that's you.
Excellent. So that's on Tuesday the 18th. And then on the 19th, Mitch is coming back on that Wednesday, and we'll open the phone lines. And for new believers, you can call and ask any question you have.
It'll be fun.
About faith.
Sure.
So it could be, you know, there's a lot of things when you come to faith. It's a new territory.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be words they're using at church that you don't quite understand, or something that you're seeing. And or maybe you've been in church for a year or two and you've got a question that you're embarrassed to ask, or you've been hurt, or whatever mm-hmm. it is. There's nothing out of bounds on that show. You can ask that question on Wednesday. And we'll also have a place on the Mid-Morning homepage ahead of time. And we'll be running some promos to remind you of this, where you can ask your questions, send them to us via email ahead of time, and we'll plug them into the show on the 19th. So that's September 18th and 19th for new believers, and Mitch is going to be our guest both days, so I'm really excited about that.
Me too.
Jewish rabbis said that great is prayer, greater than good works, and it's one of those things that we talk a lot about. There have been lots of books written on it. We know we're supposed to do it, but it's also something that can be a bit confusing for us, and so when we want to know what God thinks about something, we turn to His Word, and that's what we're doing this morning.
Well, I've been trying to practice what I preach here because I dropped my baby off at college.
Which baby? Your first or second baby?
Second, Kelsey. Yeah. And we did the whole planning together. I'm so excited for her and the process she brought to how she made her choice. But when those tears come when you exit that first time, I'm telling you, it is gut-wrenching. And then we have a pattern of writing notes to each other. And she wrote, I didn't know when I would be able to read it. You know, I wanted to be alone because I knew what it would do to me emotionally. And that's one that's tucked away in my Bible with the one Megan gave me. So I've found myself praying all the time for my daughter, who's now outside my, umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just happening 24/7. She just keeps coming to mind what she's doing, and we stay in touch, you know, and I just pray because it's all new for her and it's a big change, and she's mm-hmm. not much for change, but she loves where she is and what she's doing. So it got me thinking again about what we're talking about today, and I'd ask you, if you're listening, what, why, and how do you pray? Do you pray solely for your personal comfort and abundance? Do you ever pray in a public restaurant hoping that people seated near you will see you? Do your nighttime prayers sound like broken records, saying the same selfish things in the same selfish ways for the same selfish reasons. What would happen if you prayed for what God prayed? You see, prayer is being online with God when our hearts are connected with His. And in this connection, we upload our requests and He downloads His presence, shaping our hearts and transforming our desires to be like His. Consequently, God's design is that we would be online with Him 24/7, where we can experience His links with others. And too often, we work offline from God, limiting our encounters with Him to a church building with a particular group of people, functioning in a certain style for 1 hour on one given day of the week. In His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described the be, do, go of full surrender. In essence, He said, who you are to be determines what you do, which determines where you go in Christ. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus moved from who we are to be to what we are to do. And He began with three acts of piety in Judaism. And we talked about giving to the needy last month. And today we're going to talk about praying. And in the future, we'll talk a little bit about fasting. But in each, Jesus cut to the heart of the matter, exposing why we do what we do. We either have a selfish motive or a selfless one. With each good deed, He described what not to do, then what to do. And in this case, Jesus said, do pray. So first, He said, do not pray with a motive to be recognized and honored. And He said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Hypocrites were actors. They actually wore masks on stage, pretending to be one way on the outside, though they were another on the inside. Jesus said that if being seen outside was one's motive inside, then the attention he had received was his reward in full. And that was a reference to a payment in ancient business receipts. There would be no reward of an intimate relationship with God because of the selfish motive. Now, that just makes a lot of sense. When I try to get in any relationship, try to get with a selfish motive, I'm not doing anything to foster intimacy. So I'd ask you today, are there any arenas in your life where you love to be recognized or honored when you pray? Ask the Holy Spirit to take an inventory of your heart and surrender any impure motives to Him. And it's interesting that Jesus starts here because that's where we all are. Mm-hmm. We want a magic wand. And we want to be able to tap into this connection when it's convenient or when we're in need, and we can have more comfort and more abundance. We get something out of it, and it's not about an intimate relationship where we listen as well. Ruth Graham said, if you don't pray for longer than 5 minutes at a time, the only voice you'll hear is your own. And that's what happens.
I want to flip this, Mitch, this idea of praying to be recognized, because for Jesus' audience, the Jews prayed three times a day, and so you stopped wherever you were, and the people that like to be recognized sort of made sure that they were out in a very public place so that when it was time to pray, people would see them praying. There are lots of people who don't like to pray in public. They are embarrassed to do that, or they feel very self-conscious, or whatever the reason. Let's speak to those of you this morning that feel that way, that when you're in a group and somebody says, will you pray, you tend to defer to somebody else.
Right.
Why do we do that? What's driving our fear, self-consciousness to pray in front of other people?
Inverted pride. That's really what's going on. And you know, I know and love people who feel this way, so I'm not dinging them. But it's like the same thing with a basketball team. If you have a good shooter and that person doesn't shoot when they're open, that's kind of the same selfish act as somebody who wants to shoot all the time and maybe doesn't have that skill developed yet. Well, in prayer, pride would be the link of someone who wants to pray and be seen by people, and somebody who doesn't want to pray for fear that they may say something or do something that might make themselves look different than what they want to look in front of that audience. Now, occasionally, it's early in their relationship with Christ, and they just don't want to do something wrong, and it's out of a sincere humility. But for people who, you know and do pray on their own, I think they're missing something that could transform their hearts. This intimacy with God and intimacy with other people. It's a three-way conversation when you pray with others. And it's so powerful. And I would just encourage you, if you're one that says, okay, you know, I don't want to be called on to pray. Mm-hmm. And pastors are aware of that. We know some people don't ever want to be called on to read the Bible, don't ever want to be called on to pray in front of everybody else. And we usually have mechanisms to honor that. But I would encourage you today to let this date be the day that you say, okay, next time I'm in. And whatever it is, just let it come from your heart. Even if it's short, and just take that first step to see what you've missed out.
Oftentimes when we're doing a show on marriage, especially and the faith component of each individual in a marriage, the husband and the wife, and numerous times wives will say on the air, I really want to have a connected faith life with my husband. I really want my husband to pray for us. And he does it. He won't do it. I'll ask him and he'll say no. And it's that self-conscious thing, trying to figure out what to pray and being very much aware of trying to use the right words. And because he feels a bit unprepared in that area, then he chooses not to pray at all. And for anyone who's had, especially their husband or their wife, pray for them, it's not so much what they're praying, it's the fact that they're praying for you.
All right, Lynn.
What?
Holy Spirit just convicted me. I can't believe that. To me, one of the hardest things to do is to pray audibly on a consistent basis with Susan. With other guys, I've said, okay, let's try it. You know, there's something that's hard for a guy, I think, to pray audibly for his wife. I could pray in front of thousands.
Yes.
I can pray on radio, television, whatever, with anybody at any place. I mean, I just had one of the most amazing stories happen to me in my life this week, and it involved a public prayer that I wasn't planning on with a private individual. But praying for my wife, I think a husband praying for his wife audibly is challenging. Yet, I had a very wise woman tell me one time, you know, Paul in Ephesians 5 says, love your wives, husband loves your wives, wives respect your husbands. And she says, I think that happens most when he prays audibly for me. And so, all right, I'm in. And if you're listening today and you're a guy, you need to be in. And we're going to pray for our wives audibly every night. Susan, I wonder if you're listening. So we're going to do it.
You know, we pray that the Lord will lead us and his Spirit would direct. And he does that during not just the show, but for all of mid-morning. And and it's not how we pray. God's not checking our grammar and making sure that, you know, all the tenses match and, you know, is that the right pronoun? He listens to our hearts. You've said that to us many times, Mitch. That comes right from the Word of God. He looks into our hearts. And sometimes I'll pray, Lord, I don't know what to pray about this.
Right.
You know, I don't know how to pray about this. So I'm going to ask your Spirit to intercede.
Yeah.
And I pray what I do know to pray. Often just reference particular passages in the Word of God, especially from Paul's letters, praying for spiritual wisdom and understanding and awareness of the power of God in that person, the power of Christ that raised Christ from the dead and seated him on the right hand of God. Those are the things that we can be praying. And that's one of the things about knowing the Word of God. It was St. Jerome who said that not knowing the Scripture is not knowing Christ. That's a paraphrase of what he said. And that's not something to convict you, but it helps us to understand that to know God, we meet him in his Word. We meet him through his Spirit and through other people, but we meet him in his Word as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful place to be. It will help you greatly in your prayer life.
Mm-hmm. Well, second, Jesus says, do pray in secret. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jewish homes had only one room with a door. And what do you think it was? It was a closet, a storage chamber. Jesus used this imagery to describe a secret place where no one but the Heavenly Father would see. Now, this does not mean we cannot pray publicly Rather, it means that we should not seek selfish recognition and honor when we pray, which was an issue 2,000 years ago and can easily become an issue today. When our prayer motive is unselfish, our reward is intimacy with God. Jesus cautioned against babbling like pagans who, when they prayed, reminded their deity about their good deeds in order to receive a return favor. Sometimes we do the same with God, reminding him of all the righteous acts that we accomplish in order to receive a one-for-one benefit. Greeks used many names for their deity in order to gain its attention. Oftentimes we pray publicly using many names for God in order to be seen and heard by others. 2,000 years ago, rabbis debated the use of fixed prayers, a pattern used by many of us today. I had a friend of mine say, "You mean you wing it every time?" They determined that they were acceptable only if offered genuinely. So we have this common thread, this consistency that continually comes back to the heart. Am I selfless or selfish in my motive? Thankfully, Jesus taught us how to pray to the one who knows what we need before we ask him. And we're going to unpack this and look at how we can be online with God 24/7 and become a person who prays. I developed an acronym, as you might imagine, P-R-A-Y-S. And so I want to ask you, when you pray, are you seeking a one-for-one benefit from God for your good deeds? Do you frequently offer the same prayer without heartfelt authenticity or thanksgiving? Next time you pray, offer your heart to God. Ask him for his desires to become evident in your prayers. Pray for what he prays. And so Jesus goes on and teaches us how to become a person who prays, P-R-A-Y-S. And remember that prayer is a connection of one's heart with God. And Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray."
I'm going to have you pause just there for a second to say it's 18 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock for those of you who like to know what the time is. I'm not sure what the temp is, but it's on its way to not so hot. Nice day.
It looks nice. There's a gentle breeze in the leaves outside.
Mitch Cruz is in the studio with me. I'm Lynn Ford. WBCL is on the air today thanks to the giving of friends like you, and a special thanks to the Millhouse Bed and Breakfast, located on the banks of the Maumee River in Grand Rapids, Ohio. Find out more about our supporters on Ministry Partner, on the ministry. Talk about mushing words. Is that that's the ultimate in laziness. Amma. Figure out what that was. On the Ministry Partners page at WBCL.org. The only way to recover right now is to go to music. That is one of my favorite new beds. I have a friend who's composing all of these.
Are you serious?
Yes,
that was awesome.
Yeah, he's a musician, and he's one of those guys that can play a lot of instruments. And so he's doing 20 new beds for us. And so the stuff you're hearing, my friend Bang is doing. So
wow.
Fantastic. So hats off to him. We were talking about fixed prayers before, and there's nothing wrong with a fixed prayer. I mean, the Jews had a lot of fixed prayers. Mm-hmm. The Shema was their daily prayer, and Jesus is giving us the Lord's Prayer as a model.
Yeah.
And when I was reading, the Jews had prayers for just about everything, for a prayer that you said when you got new furniture, and a prayer, seriously, prayer that you said when a comet was seen in the sky, a prayer for the sunset. And the reason for that was just to remind everyone that what you've just seen or what you have has come from God.
Yeah, catalyst.
Yeah, and so it wasn't a burdensome kind of thing. It was a reminding kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to how you said the prayer. What's the sincerity of your heart?
Exactly.
And I love the idea that they had those kinds of reminders.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a rote prayer, so to speak, can be as meaningful in our lives as praying like Mitch does sometimes, swinging it.
Right.
So, you know, for those of you who, you know, there's the prayers of St. Francis, and there are a lot of prayers that we say for different times. Those things are powerful, and God will use those in our lives. It's the attitude of the heart as we say them.
Mm-hmm. Well, P, in to become a person who prays, to be online with God 24/7, where we upload our requests, and he downloads his presence. P is praise, P-R-A-I-S-E. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Heaven had three meanings: where we go when we die, the stars in the sky, and third, the air in and around us. When we praise our Heavenly Father for who He is, holy, hallowed means holy, for being as close as the air that is in and around us, He downloads His person and His power that we can share with others. And David said in Psalm 145, too, that, you know, I'm gonna praise You all the time, every day. It's going to be 24/7. And so praise God the most where people expect it the least. Praise Him 24/7, including in your work, play, home, and church. Identify any setting where you believe that you are limiting your praise of God, and commit to lifting up God in that setting with your heart, desires, and life, so that you worship Him 24/7. When you pray, praise your Heavenly Father for who He is, holy, totally other, and for being as close as the air in and around you. He's here. And that's the most powerful thing. It's what we want to know. God will download His person and power into your life, empowering you to link the same with others. And I don't want us to miss that. We're linking everything that we do with other people. It's not just about me. Mm-hmm. It's about God using me to advance His kingdom in others. I thought it was interesting how many Olympic athletes from the United States use their platforms to honor God. Sending out tweets, the things that they would say when they were interviewed. There were a lot of evangelical Christians competing this time. And it was really, really cool that they used that platform to praise God. And, you know, again, that can, it all goes back to the heart. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you, are you trying to gain something by it? But when it's genuine, oh my goodness, that's the heart God wants, that you use whatever platform you have, whatever walk of life you're in, whatever relationships you are, you're in those, nobody else, that's you. And God wants you to use that to praise Him. So, next.
Wait, let me stop you again.
Okay.
You talked about the word heaven. I want to go back to two other words in this first line of the Lord's Prayer, the words our and the words Father. Because in the Lord's Prayer, there isn't I, there isn't me, it's our Father. And again, the word Father, what a wonderful, freeing name for God, that for the Greeks of that time, and even, you know, for those of us living in this day, for the Greeks, they had lots of gods, and their gods were capricious, and they were vengeful, and having a relationship with those gods was not a peaceful thing. They couldn't call Him Father. He wasn't that to them. But what we have with our God is a Father who is tender and caring, powerful, protecting. It puts things in a really right perspective. And some of you don't have a good feeling about your Father.
Right.
But the God of heaven, who is our Father, is perfect. And that's who you're praying to. And that's something I think we really want to emphasize this morning.
Some say that because He says our Father, this is a corporate template for when we pray. And I think that would be fine. But the context of going to your own room and closing the door, I think, also indicates that this is a personal prayer, a private one for intimacy with God. That's excellent, Lynn. Holy Spirit's moving today. From Lynn to Mitch.
And from Mitch to Lynn and to everyone else.
Praise.
This is a cool thing. You know, let me just say this. I say this often to mid-morning guests when we're praying ahead of time. What happens here, and you have moments in your own lives, that there's a communion that you have with God in particular places that you don't have anywhere else. The communion I have with God here every day in this chair is different from the communion I have with God in every other area of my life. It's true for you. It's true for you as you're listening this morning. Can you, you know, whether it's, you know, maybe you like to make things with your hands. You know, maybe you like to write. Maybe it's when you cook. There are places and things that you do where the God of heaven, if He's not relating to you there, wants to in a way that He isn't speaking to you in some other place. I'm in awe of that.
Well, I remembered when Uncle Daryl explained to me that everything is designed to be an act of worship, of praise to God. And I started really wrestling with what's a collector car auction worship look like. And it radically transformed the way I did life. And I started worshiping God the most where others expected it the least. And I rarely had, if any, pushback on that. You get examined more, But I think that's why we have to understand on this side, it's more like we're an addict in recovery rather than someone that says, look, I'm finally fixed, you know, and I'm going to fix you. I think there's a big difference. And that's God uses that humility to connect us with other people. Well, praise, renew, PR, the R is renew. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was understood that after God's kingdom came, his will would be done on earth as in heaven. And Jesus ushered in God's kingdom. As a result, this part of Jesus' prayer calls for a renewing of our minds in order to experience God's kingdom and will in our lives. Paul taught this, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's like 24/7 worship. Well, there it is. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is God's desire for our lives. This is a 180-degree turn from our world standards. Jesus prayed for his Father's will. When we renew our minds to be focused on God's kingdom rather than our own, he downloads his passion so that we can transfer that passion to others. See, left to ourselves, our bent is about our own kingdom. The kingdom is a reach of one's will, and we want to make it about advancing our own, whether it's a business, a career, even a nonprofit corporation that we call a ministry. But this is a paradigm shift to say, God, it's going to be about your kingdom, advancing the heart of Christ in other people and in me, and I want it to be about your will. I want to be passionate about your kingdom, the very thing that was Jesus' dominant a theme when he walked this earth. So if you're listening today, I want you to renew your mind 24/7 to refocus your efforts toward the advancement of God's kingdom rather than your own. Memorize what I just read, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Recite it to God, praying to him as you seek the renewal of your mind. God will download his passion, namely his will for your life, and you will link that passion with others. It's huge. It's different. It makes life so meaningful and purposeful. And if you're a new believer today, I'd want you to really grasp onto this, because whether you've been a believer for 1 year or 50 years, this is important, because we live in this fallen world, to constantly live in that renewing of our minds to be about his kingdom and not about our own.
I want to go back to your will be done. That statement, it depends on how you read it, it's going to sound differently. So it could be, your will be done. That sort of a defeated resignation. That is, but you know,
yeah.
I mean, has there ever been something in your life that you didn't want to open your hand on? You knew the right thing was to relinquish it. And, you know, you might have wanted to in your head do that, but your heart was in a totally different place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's not a defeated resignation. Getting to that place where you're, let's talk about getting to that place where you can say, with great sincerity and an opening of hands and heart, your will be done.
Well, we white-knuckle things, and we need to stop white-knuckling and open our hands in full surrender. I remember a time when I was memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, and I was reciting this part about praying for your enemies. And so I started thinking about my competitors that were so challenging, I thought, and what I wanted to pray, and what I prayed like with a selfish motive was, God, don't you understand how this restoration story would go so well with me if you would just wipe out the competition and let me reign? I mean, I don't get it. And it's like, whoosh, you know, Holy Spirit conviction, and he kind of gets my attention. And then I think I shared last month about an encounter I had with one of those competitors, found out God was at work in his life as well. And I thought, oh God, when I walked away from that encounter months later, you got enough to go around. I will never do that again. I will never act like when I pray to you that it's just about my kingdom. I want to renew my mind. I want my prayers to be about what you want. And it's transformed the way I pray. I talk to new believers a lot about this concept of Romans. We all know Romans 8:28, usually, all things work together for good for those who love God or called according to his purpose. But what is good? You know, what is the scorecard? What is God's definition of success? And it's in the next verse, to shape us to be like Christ. Now, that doesn't sound exciting sometimes because it might include some suffering. Things might not work out our way. And yet I think as a parent, one of the things I've been really convicted about is I don't want to provide a false sense of security and a false teaching, I guess, for my kids of trying to protect them from safe places where they can risk and fail. Because that's what life is, you know. There's going to be times when we fail, when we want to fail well. And so to compete and to lose, to train hard, but maybe it wasn't hard enough. To have a teacher that's challenging to get along with. I think all those things are great things to not shield my child from, but to help them grow in their intimacy with God and in their wisdom on how to connect with other people and to wrestle with that inside. Because we tend to want things just to work out in our favor. But when the goal is to be shaped like Christ, it's going to include some rough roads, but our heart can always be shaped like His, and our relationship with Him will grow in intimacy, and that's part of what we're saying here and what Jesus is saying and being online with Him 24/7.
I like that you used the word wrestling, because there's nothing wrong with wrestling. Wrestling with God, we look at Gethsemane, and Jesus was wrestling with God, with what the cross was in His path. Was He going to move in that direction? And so that was, I mean, blood through the skin wrestling kinds of things. Went through it all and said, yes, I will move to that. I will surrender myself to Your will for me. But I think that comes from partly seeing, well, not partly, I think the what helps me the most is a right view of God, seeing who He is. Because when you have that, it doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it allows you to see the truth to make the right decision. E. Stanley Jones says, I've looked in the face of Christ and I've been spoiled for anything else. That is so powerful to me, that when you have an understanding and experience of God, and I'm not talking, you know, angels and those kinds of things. If you have that, great, that's pretty wonderful. But I mean, actually encountering the God of the universe, you can let go of other things because you realize that's what they are. They're other things. We talked to Michelle McKinney-Hammond last week, and she said, without Christ, all you have is all you have. Without Christ, all you have is all you have. And that's the reality. You know, if you have Christ, you have the highest of things. We talked about just earlier today, Mitch, about praying for others. If the praise of others and their approval is what matters most to you, then you'll never be full. And you'll always be looking for more. And you've made that your God as opposed to the God of heaven. We're here to tell you, and not in a proud way, but in a way that's very grateful and sincere, that by the testimony of our own lives, what we've experienced, we can tell you, God is who He says He is.
I'm filming next week. You're going to join me. And I'm filming with a young lady who's been through more than really a young lady needs to go through. And she said, I want to worship somebody. And we are designed, we are hardwired for that. Everybody wants to worship somebody, and unfortunately, or something. We're hardwired for that. All you and I are doing today is pointing people to the object of their worship, who they were designed to worship. And the wrestling with God thing, you know, when Jacob, God changed his name to Israel because he wrestled with God. Israel means wrestling with God. So if we're going to praise, renew, next we need to ask in Jesus' template of how to become a person who prays. The A is ask. Give us today our daily bread. This referenced God's provision of manna in the desert for the Israelites. It's an illustration of total dependence on God for our needs to advance His kingdom. When we ask God to meet our needs to advance His kingdom, He downloads His provision that we can share with others. I'd encourage you today, if you're listening, to ask God 24/7 to supply your needs to advance His kingdom through you and into others. When you pray, ask His Spirit to help you identify and provide any missing resources from you to communicate Christ to those in your life. God will download His provision and equip you to link His provision with others. Now, I want you to understand what I did there because of the context of what Jesus is teaching. He said, praise God, renew your mind, and ask. Well, asking, I've renewed my mind to be about His kingdom, so why wouldn't I ask for the resources to advance his kingdom. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Stay on par with that intimate relationship with him, with that selfless prayer. And I was challenged by this and started applying it to my life. God, give me the resources I need to advance your kingdom, whatever it is you're wanting me to do. And that might be a relationship. That might be somebody you need to hire. That might be something you need to read. That might be all kinds of things, skills that need to be developed. So it's really a radical paradigm shift to start asking for what resources I need and am I lacking to advance your kingdom in others. And that goes with that renewed mind. And so that was a big aha for me, mm-hmm. to take it to that level. And it helped me grow my intimacy with God. And I've had experiences where I've prayed for those things and the right person at just the right time has popped into my life. I really think that you came along at one of those seasons. When you and Char approached me about doing this with you, it was in a season where I was praying this and trying to understand God. You know, I don't want to detract from my family. I feel like I messed that up. You want me to, stay around here and not be gone every weekend. I'm not going to be an itinerant speaker, at least for now. What do you want me to do? And it's in that season that you came along.
Well, and we had really met you and heard you speak because you were on with Steve Gardner.
Yep.
When he had a show for men. Was it 5 Men and a Book or something? Uh-huh. But I remember hearing you and Kelly Bird, and I was just so taken by you. Mm-hmm. And not only your understanding of the word, but the way that you share it is just so accessible. And your sense of humor and just who you are as a person. So
that has to be a God thing. But, yeah. A friend of mine I went to high school with, he told me one time, we were still pretty young, and he met his wife in college, and he said, she's amazing. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, she has the most childlike faith I've ever seen. She asks God for everything. He said she had no idea how she was going to pay. They went to a very expensive school. She had no idea how she was going to pay for it. Her money would just come in her mailbox, or it would be paid on her account, and she had no idea. She would just keep praying. And I'm just so amazed by people like this. Franklin Graham was just mesmerized by when he started Samaritan's Purse with the people, mm-hmm. that got his attention on it, and how they would pray when they needed $21.37, and then $21.37 would come in. I mean, in one of his books, I think it's Rebel with a Cause, he talks about specific things like that. Just amazing. It almost just blows your mind. Well, my friend would talk about his wife. He says, Mitch, she has just this childlike faith that she'll even be in a line for ice cream, and she'll say, God, how about an extra scoop? And she'll get up there, and she'll get an extra scoop without asking for it. And for her, it's not a selfish thing. It's not like she's addicted to ice cream. It's all about this intimacy with God that she has. And when he told me that, I've never forgotten it. It was, mm-hmm. could be 20 years ago. I've never forgotten it. And because I said at that moment to myself, I want that. I want to have that kind of intimate relationship with God. And, it probably wasn't until he stripped everything away from me that I started to had to have that dependence, similar to the quote that you mentioned earlier. And that began this radical change in my life, what I would call Restoration Road.
20 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, and we want to open the phones for your questions this morning. If you'd like to talk with Mitch about prayer, 260-745-9090 is our number, 260-745-9090. Email is midmorninglive@wbcl.org, midmorninglive@wbcl.org, or Facebook is another way that you can ask questions this morning. I also love the fact that, Mitch, that God, that he wants to bless us as much as he wants to bless others. I think sometimes it's easier for us to think, well, of course he'll answer prayers about somebody else. That's mm-hmm. a selfless prayer. But he also cares for us and wants to bless us and give us himself. I struggle, like you just talked about, in asking God for things in this past year at stepping in. I've mentioned this many times, but I'm just so grateful for it and want to offer it as an encouragement to you listening this morning, that there were so many immediate needs when Char and Jamie left, and I was just praying constantly for these things, and God has never answered more quickly than he has in this past year. And it was a kindness. Part of it was things just were on a tight schedule, and so he was meeting our schedule, which is great. Sometimes our schedule is not his schedule, but he was meeting our schedule in responding to prayer. But it was a wonderful faith boosting experience for me to see that he does. I knew that he heard, and I knew that he answered. But I think I sort of have kind of doubted that over the past few years, because big things that have needed or I've wanted certain answers for weren't answered that way. And I think I began to doubt that God really did respond to our prayers. But the other night, I was asked by my niece to say something at her wedding, and it's just in a few weeks, and she called and apologized for waiting so late to call me. And she said, I kind of want like a blessing or a prayer or something. I'm not sure what I want, but I'd love to have you do it. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So when we hung up, I said, Jesus, I have no idea what to do. And I could start researching in books and looking for great quotes and whatever, and I'll go that route. But tonight I'm just going to ask you, is there something that you would have for Taryn? And I'll be listening. So I went to bed, and I am telling you, I told Becca the idea. Good idea, right, Becca? What he gave me to share during this wedding, and I'll tell you all later because I want it to be a surprise for her. I just laid in my bed and was like, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for this answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to bless my niece. It's going to bless her husband. It's going to bless the people that are watching this wedding. He cares and he answers. And wherever you are this morning, you need to know that your Father will supply your needs. It may not be in the way that you expect, mm-hmm. but he is so, so faithful.
I was running along the road where I live, and my uncle, who invested in my life, was dying in the hospital. And I had the same thing happen to me, where God just went like whoosh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like everything that he had taught me, I was able to summarize in that acronym WISE, the four chambers of the heart. And it just came to me mm-hmm. out there. And I thought, you know, this is amazing. I'm listening to worship music. I'm running, and God speaking to me in acronyms. I love that. God's love language.
That's your love language.
Yeah, it's
acronyms are your love language.
So,
language. Let's be honest
that's
here.
That's all I can remember. It. So, and I thought, you know, well, that's really cool, but what am I supposed to do with it? And then Daryl passed away, and then my aunt and my cousins asked me to speak at his funeral. And I thought, oh, his provision came before I had the vision of how it was supposed to be used. And, mm-hmm. and I just connected so much with what you said, because that does something to our intimacy with God that's really hard to put into words. And when we ask God for these resources to advance his kingdom, and when we ask him for anything, he answers like a stoplight. Red, yellow, green. Red would be no. Yellow would be slow. Green would be go. But in all things, grow. Grow in your intimacy mm-hmm. with him. And so we're going to look at that next as yield. So P-R-A-Y, praise, renew, ask, yield. He said, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. C.S. Lewis said that as, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, as was the most sobering two-letter word in all Scripture, because the prayer is for God to forgive us in the same exact manner in which we have forgiven others. That's scary. For some of us, that's a real scary prayer. We have to yield all unsettled accounts to God, radically issuing to others the forgiveness that we have received from him. If we don't, then we really haven't received God's forgiveness, Jesus taught. You know, if you've been forgiven, you're going to be a forgiver. When we yield all unsettled relational accounts to God, he downloads his peace that we can experience with others. So if you're listening today, I bet there's somebody, it's a danger, time, talent, and treasure, and you're holding on to it. We all do. I realized when I did my 2-week forgiveness experiment to instantly forgive, I did that because I realized how long I held on before I let go. Forgive means to let go. So I encourage you to yield 24/7 all unsettled counts to God. Let go and let God bring peace to your relationship with him and your relationships with others. When you pray, seek the Spirit's guidance to reveal to you all unsettled relational accounts as you yield those to him. God will download his peace and help you link his peace with others. This can be one of the most radically transformations that can occur in your life mm-hmm. is if you pray this prayer to yield all unsettled accounts to God and actually start forgiving in a way that you never have before.
The worksheet for today's mid-morning is up on the, you can access via the mid-morning homepage, and that's WBCL.org. Click on programs and then mid-morning. They can also get worksheets for previous shows, and you did a series on forgiveness, Mitch, so there's four walls of unforgiveness, and you'll find that there. It's really, really helpful, and I often direct listeners to that when we're talking about forgiveness on other shows. It's one of the best discussions on forgiveness that I think I've ever heard, so you'll find it helpful there as well. We have an email that's coming from one of our friends who writes, I've always had a hard time praying, even though I went to church regularly prior to my divorce, and I prayed and begged for my daughter not to die from cancer, and that did not happen. But I often wonder if I prayed wrong or haven't been faithful enough. Why do I pray? When I do pray, I often wander off to something else until I can catch myself, but I think about God much during the day. I'm also wondering, is it any different to pray to Jesus or to God? So several questions here, Mitch.
Well, I grew up praying, Dear Jesus, and I find myself still saying that today. Our Father, the Holy Spirit, Christ are three in one. So some people are sticklers on that, and they think you should say Our Father. I'm pretty well cool with it. I pray to the Holy Spirit a lot. To me, it's a definition of the invisible and what I need in the moment. Praying becoming difficult. I'd say that's true for almost everybody who's listening today. We don't even know what to pray for. Lynn, you're a mature believer. There was that moment in time I didn't even know what I was supposed to pray for. Well, the good news is that He intercedes for us, Romans 8. He intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray for. And I think what's important is that we do what David did in the Psalms, that we empty out our hearts to Him, unadulterated. I'm serious. To say exactly what's going on in your heart to God, to get it out there and talk to Him about it. Because that's what David would do. And then he'd come back around, except for one psalm, he would come back around and he would say, you know, God, it's all You. You know, this is all Yours. You know, You're the God of restoration. We'll come back to a very positive thing with God. But I think what's important that we see is that he was emptying out his emotions and his unadulterated thoughts to God. And that's a part of prayer that I think we miss. Ted Turner shares that he prayed to have his aunt, who invested so much of his life, to be healed from cancer when he was in college, and he was going to college to become a missionary. She wasn't healed. I think by his own words, he chucked it. The faith idea. You haven't. And God does answer our prayers. Slow, go. He has healed her on the other side. Time on this side has a limit. And we can surrender everything that we go through to Christ and grow in our intimacy with Him, that He will shape us like Christ. You did nothing wrong in how you prayed and the words that came out of your mouth. I would encourage you to unadulteratedly share everything in your heart with God on this matter. I'd do it today. I'd do it right now. I'd be alone with Him. I'd close the door. Nobody sees. And I would pour out my heart to God and beg Him for the restoration that you need.
Amen. 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, you're tuned to Mid-Morning. I'm Lynn Ford, along with Mitch Cruz, who joins us the third Tuesday of the month. Except for next month, he's joining us 2 days in a row, the third Tuesday and then the Wednesday after that, as we're focusing on new believers. And we'll have more of that in a promo that you'll be hearing on the air, but also on the Mid-Morning homepage, and we're excited about that. Let's talk a little bit more about surrendering to be Spirit-led, Mitch.
Well, praise, the P is P-R-A-I-S-E. R is renew, A is ask, Y is yield all unsettled accounts to Him, and the S finally is surrender to be Spirit-led. Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Aramaic sentence structure might indicate this: let us not sin when tempted, rather than let us not be tempted. This is supported by the fact that Scripture tells us that God does not tempt anyone. When we surrender our hearts to be Spirit-led, God downloads His protection to guide us with others. We are all going to be tempted. It's just going to come our way. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, when we're tempted, God always provides a way out. I'm going to call it a doorway out. And the important thing is, to search for Christ, to always be Spirit-led, even before the temptation comes. Bill Hybels says the difference between being Spirit-led or not is about 5 seconds. And I think it's 9 words. I would encourage you to buy into these 9 words and say them on the fly about in every situation that you're in. Again, this 24/7 online with God concept. And it's, hey, God, what do you want me to do? Hey, God, what do you want me to do? About 5 seconds, about 9 words. And it's amazing what happens. Because you see, when we're not doing that, we're going on autopilot, usually. And we're in control. This is about shifting control to God and handing Him the steering wheel of our lives. And again, praising God, worshiping God where others expect it the least. So praise Him the most where others expect it the least. And so wherever we are, it's not just about a service. It's not just about 1 hour a week. This is about 168 hours a week that we would say, hey, God, what do you want me to do? Those 9 words have changed my life in many ways. They have changed decisions I have made. They have changed encounters I've had. It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling when you just offer those 9 words to Him. So I'm going to ask you today, I want you to surrender your heart to be Spirit-led 24/7. And when you're tempted, surrender to the Holy Spirit the bait and your desires that are luring you. When you wake up every morning, pray to God, surrendering your heart to be Spirit-led. God will download His protection and guide you to link His protection with others. And if you're listening today, here's the big deal, man. I want you to take a 30-day experiment that will change your life. I want you to become a person who unselfishly prays, P-R-A-Y-S, in secret. Go into your own room at night, get on your knees if you're physically able, and praise your Heavenly Father for who He is. Renew your mind to seek His will for your life. Ask for His provision of your needs to advance His kingdom. Yield all unsettled relational accounts to Him. And surrender your heart to be Spirit-led. In this pattern, pray specifically for someone who is either skeptical of or seeking God to surrender his heart to Him. Pray specifically that someone would fully surrender his or her heart to Christ. The kingdom of God will break through your life in a way that only God's intimacy can do, and that intimacy will attract others to Christ in you. When I was little, probably 4, I walked by my dad's bedroom, and I saw him beside his bed on his knees. And I asked him what he was doing. And he said, I'm praying. And he said, Mitchell, my grandfather told me that you should always pray on your knees. Jesus' half-brother James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he was said to have camel's knees because they were so worn out for being on his knees praying because he had seen and lived with God in the flesh. I think about what happened to me when I got a phone call when Kelsey was at her lowest weight when she was suffering with an eating disorder about four years ago. And she was 99 pounds on about a 5'9" frame. And I told Kelsey that there was this pattern that would take place if we wouldn't find restoration. And one of those steps was that eventually you would be out of our home. And we talked about what a hospital would look like. Well, I got the call that she needed to be admitted to a hospital in order because she had been dehydrated and she had needed to sit there for hours with an IV in her arm. And when I got that call, I was alone. And I was teaching this to Lakewood Park Christian School students. And I just got on my knees and I fell to the ground. And I just said, God, I don't know what to pray. I know what I want. But I'm just giving this to you. And that little girl is such a picture of his restoration today that I know he's using her, has used, is using, and will continue to use her to advance his kingdom and others. And that's what it's about, to have that passion. And I never want to go through that again. But I'm thankful for what God has done in the valley. I'll never forget what Shirley Woods told me. It's not the mountaintops, but it's the valley where I experience God the most.
Mitch, we've had a call from a gentleman who's calling for his 90-year-old grandfather. This is an important call. His 90-year-old grandfather wants to know how you can know for sure that you're saved.
1 John 5:13, John writes, this is how you know you will be saved. And so I would pray today that you would fully surrender your heart, desires, and life to Christ as Savior and Lord, that you confess or agree with your sin, your desires for life apart from Him, and that you commit your life to Christ and that you want Him to be your Savior and Lord. And when this happens, John writes, that you will know. It doesn't mean mental assent. It means an experience. You will experience that Christ is in you. Paul used, I think, 176 times in his writings the term in Christ to communicate what this is. You're going to be in Christ. It'll be a total new journey, and His Spirit will dwell in you. And so you're going to start sensing this more unselfish motives. You're going to start sensing a desire to help others. You're going to start experiencing this prompting to forgive. And you're going to praise, renew, ask, yield, and surrender to be Spirit-led. And that's how you know, because you experience Christ. And so I would invite Him today to say to God these simple two sentences: I can't, you can. I can't, you can't. I can't pay for the penalty of my sin. God in Christ, you can't. I can't pay or free myself from the power of sin. God in Christ, you can. I make you Savior and Lord of my life. And that's how you know that you are saved.
And then also, you, I would suggest you write out for your father, who I'm not sure what his eyesight is like at age 90, but if you need to just put it in a larger print, a couple of verses that, because the Bible is full of God's promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. That's in 1 John. And then in Romans 3:22, we are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. That is something that God does for you. And a prayer that I often pray when I know that I'm saved, but I just really need to sense a sense of God's presence, is found in Romans 8:16, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us deep in our hearts and tell us that we are God's children. That's what Romans 8:16 says. So thank you so much for that call on behalf of your father. Mitch Cruz has been our guest today on Mid-Morning. Just a reminder that you can listen to Mid-Morning on our archive. It's free. You can download the podcast. WBCL has an app for your smartphones. I have that on mine. Love that I can listen wherever I am to what's happening on the air. I can listen to a podcast of Mid-Morning, so that's available to you as well, along with the worksheet for today's Mid-Morning with Mitch and his previous shows as well. Again, Mitch is coming back for 2 days in September, focusing on new believers, having you share your stories on the 18th, then open phone lines for your questions, whatever is on your mind about faith. You can ask us that on the 19th of September and post those questions ahead of time as well. Ross is up next, so stay tuned. Family friendly and commercial free. WBCL.